I don't know what it is. Maybe it's Mother's Day. Maybe it's the afterglow of the Hallmark holiday that is Mother's Day that has put me in a generous mood. During this hour of Open Lines, we're going to be talking about motherhood and Mother's Day. I want to know what you heard yesterday in church. And I'm getting to the generosity here in just a second. I want to know what you heard yesterday in church from the pulpit. Did you hear a Mother's Day sermon? Or did you hear a sermon that had nothing to do with Mother's Day? Or something in between? If you heard that Mother's Day sermon, I want to know what you heard. Now, sir, surely you were paying attention. Our short-term memories have not been so depleted by our television culture that we can't remember what was said yesterday in church. So give us a call during this hour of Open Lines, Issues, etc. If you heard a Mother's Day sermon, if you didn't hear one, were you disappointed? And if you heard something somewhere in between, I also want to know what you heard from the pulpit yesterday on Mother's Day in church. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And here's the generosity part. Every caller during the next 40 minutes of Open Lines will receive a free tape of our interview with Pastor David Shoddy on wives and mothers, and the best caller will receive our six-part tape series with Pastor Shoddy on the gospel and the Christian family. So every caller gets a tape with Pastor Shoddy there on wives and mothers. The very best caller will get the six-part series. The phone numbers 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. That means you can respond to the question that I've laid here before you, but you can also talk about anything you want to talk about. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, while we wait for callers, I want to tell you about another bit of generosity. That it's not my generosity, it's someone else's. There's going to be a confessional Christian worldview seminar. We'll be there broadcasting remotely on Issues, etc. on, well, somewhere in the framework of June 20th through the 27th. The Christian worldview seminar is June 20th through the 27th up in Trago, Wisconsin at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center. That's June 20th through the 27th. It's going to include guests from Issues, etc., such as, Dr. Angus Manouche, Pastor Ralph Preuss, also Pastor George Mather, and there's one other in here. Oh, that's also, there he is, Craig Barton will also be there up in Trago, Wisconsin. Now, here's the generous part. It's only $229. For everything. That includes registration for the seminar. That includes housing for those 7 nights. That includes 19 meals. $229. It's a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center, June the 20th through the 27th. This year, this summer, it's coming up. And it's in Trago, Wisconsin. If you want more information, you can go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Or you can call the Schwann Center up there in Trago at 1-800-577-4848, 1-800-577-4848. We will be there broadcasting live and talking with some of the people I just mentioned. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. Now, I've got some family stuff to share with you after we take a few phone calls here. Did you know that James Dobson is phasing himself out of his leadership role at Focus on the Family just when mothers and families need him the most? And in California, there's a new domestic partners bill. It's AB 205. You will be surprised at what it says. It's not just a domestic partners bill. The way I read this thing, it is a same-sex union bill. It's more than that. It's a same-sex marriage bill. I'll tell you about that as well. And George Barna says that parents accept responsibility for their children's spiritual development, but they're struggling with being effective in it. Most parents view themselves as the primary parties responsible for the spiritual development of their children, but few parents, according to the Barna survey, spend time during a typical week interacting with their children on spiritual matters. That's coming up a little bit later. Now tell me what you heard preached in church yesterday on Mother's Day. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Edna's up first calling from Baldwin. Edna, welcome to Issues, etc.
Hi.
Hi, Edna.
Yes, our pastor had the topic Capture Her Heart, and he addressed it to the men, which is a switch. And it's going to be reversed on Father's Day. But he talked about the men being a spiritual leader, to appreciate his wife, to affirm her, to admire her, and treat her like a princess, and pray for her and the children, and be a teammate in raising the children. It was a very, very good sermon.
Did he have a couple questions here, Edna?
Uh-huh.
Did he have anything to say to the mothers regarding to their responsibility as mothers?
Well, sure. Their responsibility is the same. That they are to be a teammate as well with the husband, and praying too for the children and for her husband.
Now, and one other question, then I'll let you go, Edna. Did Jesus get anywhere in the sermon here? Was the gospel message, Jesus' perfect life, his death, his resurrection, for the forgiveness of sins, for mothers, fathers, children, was it the center of this sermon?
Yes, it always is at our church. Yes, everything comes from God, and definitely the resurrection, and that Jesus died for us and is our Savior, that is always in every sermon.
If you can remember, Edna, how did the message of Jesus Christ get in amongst the, you know, capture her heart, fathers, treat your wives like princess messages?
You know, you're getting a little bit deep now.
I just want to know how Jesus was figured into the sermon. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, we had 1 Corinthians 11:11-2, In the Lord, however, woman is not dependent of man, nor is man dependent of woman. Everything comes from God. And, I know that's not Jesus, but he definitely did bring Jesus into the picture.
All right. Edna, thank you very much for the call. Now, I'm asking about, there's a reason, folks, why I'm asking what you heard yesterday on Sunday, not just because Sunday was any old Sunday, but because it was also Mother's Day. We were talking earlier with Sandra Astropowich, and one of the last things I asked her was, what happens, what do you think when a pastor, now she's a new mother, she had struggled for years to become a mother, and then through adoption became a mother. Her first Mother's Day was yesterday. We talked to her about it, and I asked, sitting there in the pew on Sunday morning, what do you think when the pastor takes the message of the cross, Jesus Christ and him crucified, raised from the dead, for as payment for the sins of all the world, through whom we have forgiveness, life, salvation, when that message gets pushed aside or into the background or entirely off the edge of the pulpit in favor of doing the Mother's Day sermon? Now, it may have the result of what we just heard from Edna, and that is, well, I think Jesus was, and I'm not trying to impugn anything Edna had to say, but, you know, I know Jesus was in there someplace, but I can't quite remember how. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. American evangelicals have their own holy days. It used to be, maybe a national day of prayer was a big one. Didn't always fall on a Sunday, of course, but sometimes it coincides with a Sunday. 4th of July, big day with evangelicals. But I think recently, for whatever reason, Mother's Day has taken over them all. If you go only by, say, church attendance, was your church full yesterday? Why are churches always full on Mother's Day and on Father's Day or on any other Sunday of the year? They're hardly as full as they are on Mother's Day. Now, I have my own little theory, and that is, at least people believe church is important to mom, and on Mother's Day you do things that are important to mom, and so on Mother's Day everybody goes to church, whereas on any other Sunday of the year, why bother? We're trying to keep mom happy. Now, what happens in the pulpit? Did you hear a Mother's Day sermon yesterday? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Kent is calling from his car. Kent, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm well.
Good. I think you'll like this. While there was a blessing for mothers at the end of Mass yesterday, the sermon was on Jesus as the Good Shepherd, what that ultimately meant and what it still means. There was no mention of mothers in the sermon.
Now, if I remember correctly, the gospel reading in the sermons that do observe some sort of set pattern of readings, the gospel reading, at least in one of the settings of readings, had to do with Jesus being the good shepherd. Am I right?
Yes, and the responsorial psalm also.
So was there any Mother's Day in there at all beyond just the blessing at the end of Mass?
No.
What did you think, Kent?
And you know I look for that kind of stuff.
Sure. What did you think? Were you disappointed with no Mother's Day sermon, or were you pleased?
I was pleased.
Good. Now, before I let you go, Kent, I do want to ask you, St. Louis University, and this was in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and it'll be the subject of a conversation coming up here, in about 30 minutes. The headline reads, "Conservative group objects to columnist giving graduation speech at SLU." Have you heard about Bill McClellan being the commencement speaker there at SLU, and what are your thoughts on it?
Yes, I'm an alum of the School of Law of SLU. And, yeah, I have heard about the dispute. I'm actually going to join the Cardinal Newman Society once I find out what it was and what their goals are. But, I mean, it should surprise no one. Yes, I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed.
Well, let me ask you, not as an alum of SLU's law school, but as a Roman Catholic that I know you to be, Kent, what is your reaction to it?
Even worse. I mean, is Bill McClellan an engaging guy when you see him fighting on Donnybrook? Yeah, he writes a clever column sometimes, but the bishops are finally starting to put the hammer down, and someone who is, if not necessarily rabidly pro-abortion, at least in favor of the so-called pro-choice position, he should not be speaking at a Catholic school.
Kent, thank you very much. And Kent, stay tuned, because we will be talking with Patrick Riley, who is president of the Cardinal Newman Society based in Falls Church, Virginia, about that very thing, the pro-choice commencement speakers at Catholic universities, and of course SLU and Bill McClellan and their commencement speaker. The phone numbers are 505-7850. That's about a half hour from now. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Mickey is calling from his car. Mickey, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor.
Oh, sorry for a him. It's a her. Hi, Mickey.
The church that I attended yesterday, the sermon was about if you don't follow the Lord, you'll follow the crowd, which was the only reference to Mother's Day was Mother used to say to you, don't follow the crowd. Other than that, it was just law and gospel, and it was wonderful, which was exactly what I went to church for.
So the Mother's Day occasion served as a kind of illustrative springboard to the message, as you say, of law and gospel.
Right.
All right.
Just basically said, you know, your mom always told you don't follow the crowd, kind of a thing. That was about the only reference.
Well, now, since you said this, Mickey, since you said that you went there to hear law and gospel, that's what you go there for, had it been a Mother's Day sermon, the Hallmark holiday Mother's Day sermon, what would your reaction have been?
Well, I would have been disappointed, because I don't go to church for that. I go to church to be nourished and strengthened, not to be stroked,
what
I guess.
What if Pastor said, now, come on, you know, one Sunday a year, we do the Mother's Day thing. Would that hold water with you?
Not especially, no. No, because that's not what we're about. It's not about us, and it's not about Mother's Day. It's about what Jesus did for us when he died and rose again, you know, for all our sins. It's not about me.
Mickey, I like the way you think. Thank you very much for the call. Write Mickey's name down, because she's a contender. She's not there yet, because who knows what could happen in the next 25 minutes, but she's a contender for the six-part series on... What's the six-part series on? It's on the gospel and the Christian family with Pastor David Shaddy. She's a contender. Everybody's getting a copy of Wives and Motherhood of that interview that we did with Pastor David Shaddy, but the best caller will receive the six-part series that we did on the gospel and the Christian family. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Where do I go first? Here, okay. Just when mothers need him most, Dobson is easing out of his role at Focus on the Family. Do I even need to say who Dobson is? No, I don't. Because James Dobson is perhaps one of the best known leaders in issues on social, moral, political issues when it comes to the family as there has ever been. Here's the story from the Associated Press. I got this via the Dallas Morning News. Colorado Springs, Colorado, more than 25 years after starting Focus on the Family, an evangelical ministry with a worldwide audience in the millions, James Dobson is easing out of his job. On Thursday, Dr. Dobson steps down as president and chief executive of Focus, handing over management duties to Donald Hodel, a former Christian coalition leader who served as Energy and Interior Secretary under President Reagan. Dr. Dobson, who is 67, said that the change will give him more time to spread his conservative message of family values through speeches, web pages, newsletters, and broadcast homilies, which is an interesting thing because he is not an ordained minister. But I guess he delivers homilies anyway. Quote, "For 26 years, I've handled both the creative responsibilities, the books, the films, the tapes, and the administrative tasks," he said in the drawl familiar to millions of radio listeners. "And Focus has grown. That's become very burdensome," he says. Dr. Dobson, if you will remember, suffered a heart attack in 1990 and a stroke in 1998, but maintains his health is strong. Nonetheless, the move signals that Focus on the Family is preparing for the eventual departure of its founder. His decision to give up the day-to-day management duties coincides with his sharing of his radio time with two younger men. One, you may have heard this, by the way, Bill Maher, no relationship to the politically incorrect Bill Maher. He's a psychiatrist who is in his 40s, and an obstetrician, Walter Larimore, who is 50. The changes at Focus, a sprawling international enterprise with an annual budget of $130 million, mirror what other evangelical ministries are undergoing as aging founders prepare to hand over the reins. In fact, I was just reading, this is a purely sideline kind of a thing, I was just reading about Billy Graham out in California. He drew close to several hundred thousand people to see him. And every time he goes on another crusade appearance, people say this may well be his last. He was even helped onto the stage by his son, I think. It was his son that helped him onto the stage. Same old Billy Graham. But if you look at Billy Graham's entourage, I mean the people who appear on stage with him, Billy's in his 80s. The guy who sings, forgive me for not remembering his name, is in his 90s. And one of the other principal actors there in the Billy Graham Crusade is also in his 80s. It is definitely an aging leadership. There's no doubt about it. Now, Dobson's move out of Focus, or move out of Focus. He didn't move out of Focus. He's just changing the focal point of Focus. Comes on the heels of Pat Robertson, who is 73, stepping down from the leading of the Christian Coalition in late 2001. Many believe that Pat Robertson is grooming his youngest son, Gordon, to fill his shoes on the 700 Club, his daily television broadcast. Franklin Graham, of course, son of Billy, already heads the 84-year-old's father's evangelistic association. A changing of the guard, I guess, is in order. We'll see whether or not the continuity can be maintained. I always said Dobson, when it comes to issues social, moral, and political, not so much the political, but when it comes to issues social and moral, is a pretty good advisor. He's a pretty good counselor when it comes to those kind of things. When he tries to do theology, he almost inevitably ends up stepping in at some point or another. And he does have a tendency from time to time to confuse what is political conservatism with what is Christian orthodoxy. Strangely silent, by the way, was Dobson on the issue of Bill Bennett gambling. And still all we're hearing is the crickets chirping. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I just ran across this by accident. There is a bill that would provide in California, that would provide effective January 1st, 2005. This is Bill AB 205. That's the California Assembly. It would provide that on January 1st, 2005, registered domestic partners, former domestic partners, and surviving domestic partners shall, and I read as a quote, have the same rights, protections, and benefits, and shall be subject to the same responsibilities, obligations, and duties under state law as granted to and imposed upon spouses, former spouses, and widows or widowers, respectively, of a civil marriage. Now, if I could just take that apart for you a bit, it's very simple. If this bill, AB 205, passes the assembly in the state of California, then on the very first day of 2005, they will have gay marriage in California. They're not saying that it is, they're not calling it marriage, but they're saying rights, responsibilities, duties under state law imposed upon spouses, former spouses, widows, or widowers as civil marriage. It also provides that the rights and the obligations of domestic partners, that's the term here, because, of course, this isn't just about same-sex unions. It's also about, say, for instance, a heterosexual couple living together without the benefit of marriage. If they have a civil union, not a marriage, they would also have rights and obligations with respect to children of either partner, just the same as former or surviving spouses in a civil marriage. Now, that's only a little bit more than a year away, folks, a year and a half away, January 1st, 2005, if it passes. California will become the second state in the union to officially ratify not just same-sex unions, but same-sex marriage. We might as well just call it what it is. There's no sense in engaging in euphemism here. It's open lines, issues, etc. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're coming up on a break here. What did you hear yesterday in church? Did you hear a Mother's Day sermon? Now, I heard a sermon. I wouldn't call it a Mother's Day sermon, although there was a very clear mention of mothers by way of illustration. But I don't think I'd call it a Mother's Day sermon. In fact, it would have been appropriate by way of illustration for any other Sunday of the year, I think. But Mother's Day certainly was an occasion for using a mother as an illustration. But I think it was properly preached. Christ and Him crucified rang loud and clear again and again and again in this sermon. It was law and gospel. I walked away. I even told my pastor after the service, excellent sermon, excellent sermon. And it was. What did you hear? Did you hear a Hallmark holiday Mother's Day sermon? No mention of Mother's Day or something in between? Every caller gets a free copy of an interview that we did with Pastor David Shaddy on wives and mothers. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That's 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, when we come back, I mentioned this before, George Barna has new research that indicates parents are willing to accept the responsibility, primary responsibility, for their child's spiritual development, but not many of them spend time doing it on any given week. They're all for accepting the responsibility. They just don't do it. We'll find out about that after our break. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And in the last 10 minutes of the hour, Patrick Riley, president of the Cardinal Newman Society, talks to us about pro-choice commencement speakers at Roman Catholic University.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What does the truly spiritual life look like? How is it lived? Do the stations we occupy in life, father, mother, husband, wife, employee, citizen, do these have anything to do with our spiritual life? What is the Christian doctrine of vocation? Find out how God hides Himself in the ordinary tasks of life in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Gene Edward Veith. You can order The Spirituality of the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. When you call, ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, or order online at issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section and you'll find information on this book.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist has proposed an ambitious plan that attempts to break the filibuster fiasco in the Senate. two of the president's nominees are not being allowed a vote by the Democrats. Senator Frist proposes changing Senate rules to end the impasse. David Brody reports from Capitol Hill.
The Senate requires 60 votes to break a filibuster. Republicans can't get that. What the senator proposes is that after a first attempt at 60, the threshold keeps dropping by 3 votes until finally a vote is taken requiring a simple majority of 51, just as the Constitution states.
I act now as a first step to ensure we have a confirmation process that is fair to the nominees, that is fair to the president, and that is fair to all senators.
Democrats plan to fight the proposal, but conservatives like it.
I think he's adopted a strong leadership position here.
James Bopp Jr. is with the Republican National Lawyers Association. He says the two filibuster judges, Miguel Estrada and Priscilla Owen, would benefit from this change.
In every case of these filibusters, there's a majority of the United States Senate that wants to confirm the judge.
And President Bush is taking a stand, too. In a Rose Garden speech, he demanded action.
And we will stand with these senators to bring needed reform on behalf of the American people. And I ask for your help.
The help he wants is from people across America to light up their senator's switchboard and demand that the obstructionist tactics end. He says it's for the good of our country. For Family News in Focus, I'm David Brody in Washington.
Frist's plan would allow no more than 13 days between the first and last votes. President Bush has submitted his own strategy to resolve the problem. He calls on the Senate to give a nominee a vote no later than 6 months after the president has submitted it. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Artists from countries throughout the Caribbean, Central and South America are represented in a collection presented at the Missouri Botanical Gardens Ridgeway Center during its Folk Art of Latin America exhibit now through June 6th. The exhibition presents paintings on wood, canvas, and paperboard, as well as on sculpted metal. Their work has been called charming, easy to understand and appreciate, refreshing, expressive, and spiritual. It speaks from the heart and soul. The exhibit is included with regular admission or membership to the Missouri Botanical Garden.
What were the beliefs, teachings, and practices of the first evangelicals? Find out with the book, The Spirituality of the Cross, by Dr. Jean Edward Veith. The Spirituality of the Cross is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Spirituality of the Cross is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, 1-800-325-3040. You can find out more about this book on the internet, issuesetc.org, and click What's New. The Spirituality of the Cross, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's open lines for your questions, your comments, the question I've laid on the table. What did you hear yesterday, Mother's Day, from the pulpit? What was the sermon? Was it a Mother's Day sermon? If it wasn't a Mother's Day sermon, if there was no mention of mothers or Mother's Day, were you disappointed? The phone numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go back to the phones. Belinda is calling from Collinsville. Belinda, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi there. Yesterday we had a visiting pastor who I won't mention, but he talked about mothers in the beginning, and he talked about how mothering is a balancing act, and how before you even have a child, you have to balance. Be careful how you walk. And then infancy, and as the child grows, there's all these changes that happen. Eventually, the pastor talked about how we all have a balancing act in life. We have many responsibilities we have to keep going, taking care of. And then things happen even when we do our best. And, for example, the tornadoes that came through and other things that happen to people. So through it all, though, we hang on to God and we look to Jesus, and it's so important to be in the Word every day and to get up early in the morning, spend time with Him, talk to Him in prayer throughout the day. And the pastor did a very good job of applying it into all of our lives with a lot of examples.
Well, now, Belinda, you are obviously listening very carefully, and I tell you, yes. One, I mean, I must commend you for listening so carefully to a sermon, because that's an acquired skill. I mean, you must listen in order to remember those kind of things, so I commend you for that.
Uh-huh.
So since you listened so carefully, now you did mention that the pastor, how What I'm asking really is, because I know a Mother's Day sermon, if a Christian pastor, I mean, he's really just got to have a major seizure of the brain or something to not at least mention Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
But how central to the actual message of the sermon, if you look back on it, to the central to the message of the sermon, not just an addendum, not just a footnote, was the cross of Christ for you, the sinner, the forgiveness of sins in his name.
Okay, well, right at the beginning, he mentioned, I think it was the epistle where it talks about we are children of God.
Yes, 1 John chapter 3.
Thanks, I couldn't remember that. But that was the emphasis through there. And he just wove it in very beautifully. You know, we find out that when things change, God is going to be the stable influence in our life. He's going to be what matters.
All right, Belinda, thank you very much. And again, thank you for listening so carefully. Now, the reason I would commend Belinda and all those who listen carefully to the sermons is this reason, so that you can go back and ask yourself the very questions that I'm asking right now. What did I hear? Now, I heard a little bit about Jesus, but was it the center of the message? We had a previous caller who said, it's not about me. It's not about my life. It's about him and his life, Jesus, and the life he lived, not the life I'm living. Not that we can't bring these things up in sermons, because obviously we're living our lives, but what Jesus did, he did for us. Now, if Jesus is merely a footnote, I'm not saying it is in the sermon that that Belinda heard, because you know, she was doing her best to recount what she did hear. But if Jesus isn't the center of the message, not just in the background, not just woven in, not just, well, you know, there were enough mentions of Jesus in there, at least his name, that I kind of got the idea this had something to do with him. But the clear, unambiguous, unmistakable message of the cross coming through loud and clear, regardless of what the illustrations are. Unless it's that, it's not sufficient. It's not enough. Because Jesus very easily falls through the cracks and very easily gets lost in the shuffle. Barbara's calling from her car. Barbara, welcome to Issues, Etc. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Our pastor had, I thought, a very wonderful sermon yesterday. He wove the gospel lesson of the shepherd, and spoke of how mothers are shepherds, and that children are the ones that they take care of, and how the shepherd, Jesus, takes care of us, and how the mother is the shepherd who guides her children and takes care of them. And I thought it was very beautiful the way he wove the gospel into the Mother's Day and related how mothers are shepherds of their family, and how they, through their gift of faith, enable their children to be safe and secure in Jesus.
Was it made clear in the sermon that mothers need Jesus just as much as the kids or the father or anybody else?
Oh, yes, because as a mother, if you don't have the faith in Jesus, you cannot, give it or transfer it or make sure that your children have the gift of Jesus.
Barbara, thank you for the call. This is what I'm wondering, because there's a statistic that sticks in my brain from a conversation I had a few weeks back here on this program. You perhaps may have heard it yourself, that young girls, young Christian girls, have abortions at precisely the same rate as unbelieving teenage girls. That alone is shocking, but that's not the shocking part. The shocking part is that when surveyed post-abortion, Christian girls say that the major factor in them deciding to have an abortion was their Christian mother. To the tune of 7 out of 10, the girls had the abortion either because their mother suggested it or insisted on it, but in any case, the mother was the major factor in that girl deciding to abort her child. And those are Christian mothers and daughters. So it appears Christian mothers are not all that good a shepherds with their kids, and especially with their grand... What kind of shepherd would encourage their grandchildren to be aborted? But apparently these things are forgotten on Mother's Day. Mothers are all good. And I understand the sincere attempt to weave together the Good Shepherd and the Mother's Day theme, but I'm wondering whether or not we're trying to mix apples and oranges to such a degree that Jesus again gets lost in the shuffle, because the whole point of the Good Shepherd passage is not that mothers are shepherds to their children, but that Jesus is the shepherd to all of us. If I remember what the reading was yesterday, it was the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Our phone numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Linda's waiting there in St. Charles. Linda, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. I feel like I'm going to butcher this, but I enjoyed our pastor's sermon so totally yesterday, and I told him so afterwards, and I want to get a copy of it, because he mentioned mothers, but the central theme was Christ. And one of the examples that that he used was when he was in second grade, a classmate of his had died, and he did not want to go. And pastor said that so many, like, people today, they would, I'm not going to send my kid, you know. He doesn't want to see a dead person. That really bothers him. He's going to have nightmares, things like that. And he said, but his mother took him on her lap, and she just told him about the body of believers and Christ holds us up and all that kind of stuff. And he said that he was able to then go to the funeral. And then since then, he says, and now he's a pastor, he does funerals, and he says it doesn't bother him. He says that his mother took that time. She didn't stand up for his rights or her rights, you know. And it was just, and he just, the whole sermon was just kind of how, you know, it made you think, oh, yeah, I want to do that as a mother, you know, just like you take your child upon your lap. And it was just a really awesome sermon, and I think Christ was the center, and mothers were on the outskirts, but we weren't left out. It was just a really neat sermon.
Okay, so to summarize, you were saying that the central message was what Christ has done for us in his perfect life,
right,
and death and resurrection.
Right. And then the mother just, you know, helps to lead the children to see that.
So commending to Christian mothers, the message of the gospel, but he didn't fail to preach the gospel himself.
No.
All right. Linda, thank you very much for the call. Now, people will wonder at times, if you listen long enough to this program, why does Wilkin drum this kind of thing? Why does he continue to drum the centrality of the message of the cross in preaching or in music or in the worship life of the church or in Christian theology? Why does he always come back to, and if you've heard it enough, you probably could just mouth it along with me, the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us, sinners? Why? I mean, isn't there anything else to talk about? Yes, there's a lot to talk about. I make my living talking about all sorts of other things. But there is nothing more important to talk about to your kids, to your people, pastors. Somehow, and it doesn't make any difference how we got here because we're here, but somehow we got to this point that what Paul claims to be, what he very clearly says, is the central message that ought to be proclaimed has become no longer central in an individual sermon, in the course of preaching, in the life of the church. It is one among several important things that need to be proclaimed. And so you can tell by looking at the average sermon. If you listen carefully enough to take it apart while you're listening to it, I'm not talking about being the critic of the sermon. I'm talking about simply exercising proper Christian discernment as you're hearing God's word handled. Is it being rightly handled? When you have to search for Jesus in the sermon, something's wrong. Or when you have to say, well, I think that might have been about Jesus in kind of a backhanded way. I think that might have been a reference to Jesus in there. If you fill in the gaps, you might understand that to also being talking about Jesus. When you've got to go looking for Jesus in a sermon, something is wrong. When you have to go looking for the message of the cross, of your sin, which necessitates Christ's death on the cross for you, when you've got to go searching for that in the sermon, and it isn't there to be found, not only at first glance, but at every glance, something is wrong. Look, Mother's Day is probably a good example of this, because the temptation on Mother's Day is strong for the pastor to do a little Hallmark, a little Hallmark holiday, a little greeting card sermon. It's a good case in point, because it is the place where if a pastor is going to slip and say, look, today Jesus will have to share a little bit of the attention and a little bit of the glory and a little bit of the thanks and the praise for what he has done with mom. But that's only the beginning, folks. That's only the beginning, because once Jesus crucified, raised from the dead for sinners like you and me, is no longer the most important thing that the pastor has to say in the pulpit, that must be said loud and clear, that must be heard if you hear nothing else. Once that happens, not only is something wrong, something is lost. A person can walk out of a church on Sunday morning, and because the pastor said, look, I'll mention Jesus because I guess I have to. I mean, this is, after all, Sunday morning, isn't it? This is, after all, a Christian. I am, after all, a pastor. I guess I have to mention him. I'm going to talk about mothers this morning, and by the way, I might mention Jesus in passing, too. A person can leave after hearing that, and Jesus might have fallen through the cracks. Entirely. And what they remember of the sermon, and after all, what good is a sermon unless it's what you remember of it, so that God's word can do its work? If you put your hands over your ears when you're listening to a sermon, just having the vibrations around your head don't do anything. Faith comes by hearing. So someone can leave that church feeling wonderful about their mom. Or a woman can leave feeling wonderful about the fact that God has made her a mother. And God's all over the sermon, but Jesus gets lost in the shuffle. There'll be people in hell, folks, who were great mothers. There will be people in hell who loved motherhood and loved their moms. But who may, in a Christian church, maybe on the only time they came in, because a lot of those people who were there on Sunday, Mother's Day, don't come back the next Sunday, who may, on the only opportunity they had opportunity to hear it, didn't hear about Jesus. This is what I advise you to do, then we're going to go on to something else. Look, if you did not hear the clear proclamation of your sin, its consequences in death, and Jesus' answer for that sin, where he went to the cross literally answering for your sin under the justice of God, all the way to death in perfect obedience, was raised from the dead as the proclamation that his payment, his answering for your sin, sufficed for all. And in him there is forgiveness of your sin, be you a mother, father, child, whatever you are. If that was not the central, clear, unambiguous message of the sermon you heard, it is your duty to go to your pastor politely, humbly, and ask, Pastor, the Apostle Paul says, we preach Christ and him crucified. Why didn't you? We're going to spend the last 10 minutes of the program talking with Patrick Riley. He's president of the Cardinal Newman Society based in Falls Church, Virginia. If you were reading in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, you may have seen the headline, Conservative Group Objects to Columnist Giving Graduation Speech at St. Louis University. Patrick Riley, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. Good to see you.
Patrick, what exactly, this is not an isolated incident here at St. Louis University, but let's start with that one. What has happened here at St. Louis University that there is a pro-choice commencement speaker?
Well, St. Louis is actually an interesting situation. Their commencement speaker was Donald Carty, the CEO of American Airlines, and it's unclear whether the university actually disinvited him, but there certainly was talk of that for a while, and eventually he withdrew from speaking at their commencement because they were concerned about some complaints about he as CEO of American Airlines, which, as you know, is having troubles, was making large payments to ex-officials of the airlines, and that was a concern based on their social justice principles at St. Louis University. And yet, as a substitute, they turned to this columnist who had been criticizing the university for having this man as a speaker, and they invited him to speak, this Bill McClellan. And McClellan, his past writings, you know, we went back and looked at some of his past columns. I mean, he's very pro-choice on the issue of abortion. He supports embryonic stem cell research, expressed sympathy for opponents of partial birth abortion ban, and even ridiculed the Catholic Church for saying that it contributes to violence against abortionists because of its strong pro-life position. So, I mean, this guy is clearly not someone who would be welcome in the normal setting among Catholics, and yet, you know, here it is, a Catholic university inviting him as a substitute for someone who, you know, there may have been some concerns about his activities at American Airlines, but I wouldn't put them in the same category.
Bottom line, does this indicate to you that at St. Louis University they have a greater concern about whether or not a commencement speaker is has his financial house in order, as opposed to whether or not he opposes or is in favor of a woman aborting her own child?
Yeah, it does. And in fact, you know, in some ways we were originally excited about their concern about the American Airlines CEO, simply because finally a Catholic college had demonstrated, you know, some concern for who they were selecting as a commencement speaker based on Catholic principles. It, too often it just doesn't happen. They don't even consider you know, Christian morality when they select these speakers, and it's become a real problem.
Now, this is not an isolated incident, of course, and there,
right.
There's a list that you guys have put out of other Catholic universities who are having commencement speakers that are concerning. First of all, before we go through the list, what is the relationship of a Catholic university to the Catholic Church, to the various bishoprics in which it may operate, and what are the obligations of a Catholic university with regard to what's taught there vis-a-vis the Catholic faith?
Well, there was a document issued by the Vatican in 1990 called Ex Corde Ecclesiae that lays out the guidelines for a Catholic university. But essentially, most of the Catholic universities in the United States are organized under an independent board of trustees, which means legally they are not owned and controlled by the Catholic Church. However, by virtue of being Catholic, they are expected to maintain a relationship with the Church and certainly to uphold Catholic teachings in all their official actions as an institution. The bishop really, you know, even say with a commencement speaker, cannot actually step in and forcibly remove that, you know, that commencement speaker or change their decision. But, you know, certainly the bishop does have the authority in the final analysis to declare a college or university not Catholic, and that gives the bishop a certain bully pulpit, I would say, when it comes to these issues, to, you know, to declare that certain things are not in keeping with Catholic identity.
Has that been done in any incident that you know of?
Oh, it's been done in many cases, yes. Up in this year, University of Scranton is having Chris Matthews, the MSNBC reporter, as their commencement speaker, and he's very pro-choice on the issue of abortion, and we protested that. And Bishop Timlin up there, you know, made a public statement that he would not be attending the ceremony and could not, in good conscience, you know, support that decision. So it does happen occasionally, sure, And in a couple instances this year already, some of the speakers themselves have voluntarily withdrawn.
Chris Matthews will also be at Holy Cross, the College of the Holy Cross, as a speaker as well.
Right.
With only about a minute here, what other major Catholic universities are running afoul of Roman Catholic teaching because of their commencement speakers?
Well, some of the worst ones that we're looking at, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who has basically waged all-out war on pro-lifers up there and has forced hospitals to provide training in abortion, is speaking at the College of St. Rose up in Albany. There's a New Jersey Superior Court Judge, Reginald Stanton, who's speaking at St. Peter's College in Jersey City, and he has used the bench to issue long statements in opposition to pro-lifers, and has actually forced a Catholic hospital to remove the feeding tube from a woman who wanted to commit suicide in that hospital. There are a number of pro-abortion politicians, Vermont Governor James Douglas at the College of St. Joseph in Vermont, former Massachusetts Governor Paul Cellucci at Niagara University in Niagara Falls, and Cleveland Mayor Jane Campbell at Notre Dame College in Ohio.
And Patrick, with just a minute before we have to go,
mm-hmm.
what needs to be done here beyond what the Pope has already done in issuing the statement that you mentioned before? What needs to be done? 1 minute.
Well, overall in the Church, there needs to be greater attention to, you know, to what is Catholic and what does it mean, and we are, you know, we're encouraging that on a broader level. With the specific situations at the colleges, we need the bishops to take a strong stand. And at the very least, even if the colleges are going to refuse to do the right thing, we need to let the public know, Catholics and even the broader public know, that these institutions are not exactly what they claim to be at all times.
Patrick Riley, thank you again for being our guest on Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Patrick Riley is president of the Cardinal Newman Society based in Falls Church, Virginia. We've been talking about a pro-choice commencement speaker at St. Louis University, but also there are other issues here beyond just abortion. There's also the ordination of women to the priesthood and issues like assisted suicide, where these commencement speakers are running afoul of the Roman Catholic's teaching on morals. If you'd like to visit the Cardinal Newman Society on the web, feel free to do so at cardinalnewmansociety, all one word, .org. cardinalnewmansociety.org. When we come back from this break, part two of a three-part series we're doing each week on an image-based culture versus a word-based culture. Last week with Arthur Hunt, author of the book The Vanishing Word, we talked about the word-based culture. We talked about what it means to live in an image-based culture. When we come back, we'll talk about when the change took place. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.